shit on me.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Pathways Podcast, episode 115.
115.
I feel like we've practiced that a few times.
Feeling a little nostalgic today with just the two of
That's
us.
That's right. A little throwback. Yep. We're having a few technical difficulties, but we're up and running now. So in the meantime, we were talking about...
Jen, the technical master, has overcome
That's right.
the challenges.
She has. She has unplugged and
our
rebooted
producer,
and all of
our
the
producer
things.
Has rose to the occasion.
The lengths that she will go to for us. Thanks, Jen.
To be an official podcast show, you have to have a producer.
It's true. Definitely. And we do have a producer. She's That's amazing. Right. Yep. We also have discovered that on the back of the little sound box that Steve's goes from green to orange to red, and mine consistently stays on green. So I think that means you're loud.
Mine will stay green.
When you talk like that.
I know how to keep it at green.
That is true. However,
now if I get excited.
There you go. It goes to orange and then it goes to red. It's amazing.
Oh, okay, Marcy, Jen don't dwell too much on the LED.
She's like, here. Fix this. So we were talking about, though, 100 episodes ago.
Yeah.
So today is episode 115. And so 100 episodes ago was episode 15. And
really? Wow. So there really it is. 100 episodes ago was episode 15.
It was. But we had, now I'm going to laugh. We had Rod and Marla on.
We
Rod
did.
And Marla were our guests. So shout out to Rod and Marla. That's right.
Shout out to them.
It's great.
Rod now is on our executive board.
Yeah.
And,
yep.
They continue to, even through the season we've been in, yep. You know, Ark of the Way has continued to bless families and hand out
all
things that are
ways.
Needed within the community. And
it's good.
So it's been just a great, fruitful ministry.
Yes, it has been. Yep. Lots of people have been blessed by it and lots of families. That's part of their mission with that too, is to bless kids and families. And they've done that through school supplies and diapers and pajamas and all
kinds of
things.
I still remember the day that they set up a meeting with me and they met in the old parsonage in my office.
Yep.
And
back
they
in
just,
the staff house.
They were very emotional because they felt like God was calling them to do something and they were not real sure about, you know, what to do. And and so we kind of prayed and processed that out. And now these years later, the Ark of the Way, you know, and how many, I don't know, thousands?
Yeah.
Of times that they've blessed children and families. I mean, thousands. I mean, over
definitely.
The years. And it's just been, it's been very, very awesome to see happen. I remember, you know, go back to the first event they had when there weren't that many people that showed up. And just kind of how it's grown. And so, good walk down memory lane.
That's right. Little throwbacks.
Praise the Lord and all that he's doing.
That's
so
right.
That's cool.
That's good.
Speaking of which,
That's
Sunday.
Right. Yeah, Sunday was great.
It was great. And, you know, I don't know. So here's what, I mean, first of all, the message and the information was great.
Yep.
But you combine that with the fact that you know what Jeff Guthrie goes through.
Yep.
And his obedience and his, and, you know, there's, so to me, guts. Is not necessarily, I mean, so, you know, courage is not the absence of fear. I mean, courage is the willingness to do it anyway.
Right.
And so, yeah, he goes through a lot whenever he speaks publicly. And through the years, he's gotten more confident. But at the same time, there's still, you know, it just, he goes through a process and there's nervousness involved and everything. And to see him stand up there and deliver that message and rely on Jesus the way that he does, it's very powerful. And it's amazing.
Yep.
Just amazing to sit back and watch that happen.
It is.
And I just applaud him. And I hope other than the content and the delivery of the word of God, I hope that people are inspired by others that are willing to step out.
Right.
You know, literally step out of the boat and go to places that they would never go without Christ leading them.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, my concern oftentimes as a church is, you know, you get to a point where you do it so often that the appearance is that it's kind of a polished, you know, thing. And it really only quote unquote professionals. And it's just not that at all.
No.
It's, you know, it's about you know, people just being obedient and stepping into places. And it's great to see. And I just applaud Jeff for his willingness to go to the places where Jesus leads him. And that goes for everybody.
Right.
That's been filling in. That's not something they do normally.
Yep.
But they're willing to go there because the Lord led them there. But talking about our core value of transformed lives.
Yeah. So it was, I felt like it was a very fitting core value for Jeff to be talking about. So I think that's one of the things too, is, you know, walking with Jeff and Sarah over the last few years and just that transformation that has played out in their life. But as you'd mentioned too, it's part of that too has come from obedience to Christ, but stepping out in obedience. And so it's definitely a message that, you know, you have seen played out in their lives over the last few years. And so that's one of the reasons too why I think it's so impactful, is that, you know, Jeff's life is a living testimony to everything he preached about. And I just think that's awesome. So
and you know, I mean, obviously you love all families that come to the Way, and you love them, and you know they're a part of the family, all the families that come. But then there's certain families that just are in these seasons where you just see them going deeper with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And you know, the Guthrie family, like you said, you know, Sarah and even, you know, John and Kim, and you know, we'll extend that to others. It just has been cool to see they're, you know, the stepping into places. And so, you're right. That's transformation.
Yeah, definitely.
By very definition. And so,
So, and then I think one of the neat things that Jeff talked about too, was just how, you know, the transformation that he has experienced. And when you look at what does it mean to live a transformed life, but how that has been part of him stepping into Kingdom Builders and helping lead the men's ministry and build the team and everything with that, is just wanting people to see, wanting to see true transformation through Christ in people's lives. And so, I think that's just good. So it is. Definitely.
It is. And that, you know, that's, and he said it multiple times in his message, and this has been a common theme, but this idea of, if all we're promoting is behavior modification, you know, people might be able, so really, if it's just about behavior modification, you really have two options. One is that, you know, you're going to try to do something for a while, and then eventually you're going to burn out on it. You're going to get sick of it because nothing really has changed.
Right.
You're just changing the way you're acting.
It'll get too hard,
or you'll run into some obstacle and you'll be like, you know, this isn't worth it. It's just not, I'm not getting any return on this. So it's just not worth it. So, you know, you got to modify your behavior. And then, you know, the other thing is you have to live in denial, or you have to suppress or hide things because you're not really transformed.
Right.
You're not as transparent as you should be. And, you know, the opposite side of that is that, you know, you're in the process of being transformed.
Right.
You're not a completed work. Mm-hmm. You're a work in progress.
Yep.
And so you can be transparent and say, you know what? I messed that up. I can do better, and by the grace of God, and I'll continue to work and pray and ask the Spirit to help me. And so that's what really being a Christian is.
Right. Yeah. One of the things that Jeff had said in the message was that transformation is the natural result produced by living a life committed to Christ. And I thought that was so good, because it looks at this idea that our spiritual transformation is the result of being committed. So if we're committed to Jesus and we're pursuing him and we're putting God first and we're thinking about him in all things, we're living our life as that living sacrifice, like he talked about from Romans 12, that transformation is just the result that's produced. And that kind of goes into what you're talking about. We try to produce behavior modification, and we try to change, and we try to do things. And that's when we lose momentum and focus, and, you know, it gets hard and we just quit. But if we're pursuing transformation, what we're really doing is pursuing Jesus, and transformation comes as a byproduct. And so I thought that was a good point of kind of that process of transformation lived out in our lives too.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, the old kind of, there's that old saying out there, is fake it till you make it.
Yep.
That doesn't really apply to transformation.
Right.
it might, you know, in faith, sometimes, you know, there are times where your faith is maybe lower than it should be, but yet you can kind of say, okay, I'm going to have faith.
Right.
And that's not really faking it, but
right. Or you don't feel it, but you're choosing. You don't feel it,
but you're choosing to have faith. I'm going to trust God on this. You know, but, and then through that process, you also move towards transformation, but transformation, you can't really fake.
Right.
And because you're becoming something that is so different. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a major part of who you are that's in the transformed you, but kind of where you're going in that regard, you don't really know.
Right.
So you're just kind of following God and you don't really know where he's leading you or what his purpose is, but you're just trusting him. And then all of a sudden, boom, there you are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's powerful to see.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
You know, if we had sat Jeff down when he first came to the way and said, you know, we're going to have you preaching here inside,
you know, 10
years from
door.
Now, you're going to be preaching. You probably would have never seen him again.
That's right.
And I feel the same way. If when I first came to the Lord, if he had said, you know, the ultimate end goal with you is that you're going to plant a church in Newton.
Yep.
And I would have been like, yeah, okay, no.
Yeah.
But, you know, as you walk with the Lord, he leads
one
you
step
into
at a time.
Places.
Yep. And he leads you. That's right.
I think it's worth reciting our faith statement and our mission and core values. So transform lives, what we're meaning by that. As we define it in our core values, is we are called according to God's purpose and must maintain a kingdom focus in our lives that will transform our hearts and minds and conform us to be more like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We will actively engage in fellowship, worship, the teaching of God's word, and prayer to develop wholeness in ourselves for the purpose of serving God's kingdom through outreach and mission.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, that's good.
You know, I was just talking this morning with a friend of mine in ministry, and you know, really all those things have to go together.
Mm-hmm.
So the deeper work that God does in you, whether it be through discipleship or whatever it is, there's an ultimate, so there's like a flow to it, right? There's there's this idea, and if you don't allow it to flow, then you stagnate, right? So that's kind of the idea. So I'm looking back at this and you know, a lot of these core values, a lot of these I wrote.
You did.
And it's just kind of interesting because I go back there and I'm like, oh, I'm glad, you know, praise God.
Yeah,
praise God. But this idea, but you can see that in there. You can see that in this transformation because it ultimately comes back to being missional.
Right.
So transformation just for life enhancement isn't really transformation.
No. It comes back to the mission and the purpose that God has called you to. It
comes back, yes.
That's why we're being transformed for his glory, which he's then going to use to affect his kingdom and things here on earth. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Yep. And that's one of the things we've been talking about as a sermon prep team is just how they all overlap. So we've been looking at all the core values, and this week we're going into worship and next week prayer. And we've just been looking at how all of those core values overlap. And I think the other thing that has stuck out to me, which when I think about it, it's like, well, yeah, duh, but is that all of our core values, these are not things that we would do and pursue apart from Christ.
Right.
And so it's almost like, you know, to be word driven, to be in your Bible and want to be in your Bible and to be spirit led, to follow the Spirit's leading and seek what is the Holy Spirit asking me to do, whether it's in scripture or me personally, to be unashamed of the gospel and tell other people about your faith, to live a transformed life, to allow the Holy Spirit to transform you and then live that way, and to engage in worship of God and prayer to God, that those are things that we would not do apart from Christ. And so it's kind of that picture that, you know, when we come to Christ, we start to do these things, which I think too in the, I don't know if you call it the definition, but our statement of a transformed life, all those pieces that are in there are all things that because Christ has transformed us, we want to do and we want to pursue because we want to pursue him. And then, like we said, the byproduct is he's transforming us, but he's using us for his kingdom purposes and to fulfill his mission through us here on earth. And so,
and Absolutely. Amen to all of that. Also, kind of one of the areas. So, you know, on my little break here, I've been going down these study trails. And one of the areas that God has brought me down was this idea that, and this kind of comes from a leadership podcast by Craig Groeschel. So I'll give him the kudos on it, although it was inspired by God. But it is this idea that you can't have progress without pain.
Yes.
And somewhere in our thinking, we equate pain with like something negative. Bad.
Right.
And so I'm going to use an old athletic term here. And I remember the first time my dad asked me this, and I didn't know what he was talking about. But one time I came home after practice, and I was hurting. Mm-hmm. And he asked me, is it pain or an injury?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what's the difference? He goes, pain, you got to play through pain.
Yeah.
But injury is something different. An injury, you have to get attention and you have to do what you can to fix that. Otherwise, it'll begin to be a detriment to you athletically. And so spiritually, we're not talking about injury. We're talking about pain. There's good pain.
Right.
Maybe it feels uncomfortable, or maybe for a season, it makes something more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all like to slip into our autopilot and just get through life, right? You know, especially during the week. Let's get to the weekend, right?
Yeah.
So it's Monday, and then Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen the meme with Will Ferrell where it's like, this is what the week looks like, and every day is a different scene from one of his movies. And and then on Friday, it's him as Elf going, yay, yay. And but that's good. We want to slip into this idea that we just want to get through life.
Right.
And transformation is not easy.
Yeah.
You know, and because you're constantly aware of what's going on, and maybe you're moving into new areas that you've never done before, and it's not as easy as just doing the same old thing you used to do.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So so I haven't been listening to Craig Groeschel's podcast, but I've been listening to some of his recent messages, and he's been talking about intentionality too. And so, but that kind of goes along with it, because it's kind of that piece too of we have to intentionally put ourselves in that place. And so I think about like you saying that reminds me. So both my boys wrestle, and I overheard one of the coaches talking to my younger son one day, and he asked him, he was like, hey, are you going to go to this meet coming up? And he was like, oh yeah, I'm thinking about it. And there were just a bunch of other boys around too, who were also wrestlers. And he said, well, you need to go to it because you need to put yourself in a situation that's going to be hard so that you can grow and get better. And I was like, that's exactly what we talk about with spiritual formation. And when we're talking about like stepping out of your box, and that progress means some pain, but it's in that situation where I'm willing to step out in faith, and I'm willing to put myself in this situation, because I mean, in spiritual formation, it's because I feel like God is calling me here, and this is what I'm supposed to do. And so it's a step out in obedience, but yet there's an element of faith, but I'm doing it so I get stronger and I build that resilience so that the next time, you know, I can do more, or it kind of increases your capacity for what you can do or are willing to do for the Lord. And I think too, that's just how we grow, and that's how we experience transformation. And so.
Well, we started talking about Jeff and go back, and you know, I'm sure that his build up to his sermon was pretty painful for him.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I get it.
It always is, right? I mean, it always is.
There's a few nerves, a little anxiety.
It's like for me, basically when I preach, which, you know, I'm getting back
to going into a very regular rhythm.
You get to a regular rhythm, which includes I'm not very sociable on Saturday.
Yes. Yep.
Because I got stuff on my
mind. Right. You're
and these are all the things you're going. It's like, oh, you know, you get invited to do these things. It's like, well, I'll go, but I'm not very engaging. I may seem like I'm detached. I might
you feel like you probably won't be yourself.
I won't be myself. But that's part of the what goes with it, and the discipline that goes with it. And I can remember there are times, so it's not so bad now, but there's times on a Saturday when you know, you're sitting there. It used to be when I had a window in my office. Now I don't have a window in my office. But I used to sit there. I used to sit in the old office, and I had this window, and I'd be working. And then I'd hear the laughter and the joy of people enjoying this beautiful spring day. And I'm in my office.
Here I am.
Working. And, you know, it's just it's part of the thing, because that's what you're called to do. But it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
And so anybody that's listening, if you're in a season and you've kind of followed what God has called you to do, but now it seems difficult,
mm-hmm.
that's part of the thing. Know the difference between pain and injury.
Yep.
Pain is good. You know, pain is, you know, you can't build muscle without being mm-hmm. in pain.
Yep.
You know, you can't build endurance without pushing yourself to a point. That's all good, but you don't want to push yourself to a point where you're injured.
Right.
And so that's all a big part of it. And that's what I appreciate about, you know, people like Jeff
mm-hmm.
or anybody, any of the other speakers for that matter, pushing through
mm-hmm.
any pain that comes with
yep.
sermon prep. And then, you know, there's a satisfaction that comes after
Yes.
There's always a blessing
yep.
with obedience.
Yep.
But you got to go through
it's
it to get there.
Relief.
There is. Yep.
It's good.
So
it's good.
No, that's good. And again, the basic idea of transformation comes from this idea that before we come to Christ, we are a fallen creation
mm-hmm.
with a sinful nature
yep.
that needs to be redeemed.
Yep. Yeah.
And so that's not an easy process
mm-hmm.
to metamorphosize into something different.
Right.
Think about how a caterpillar becomes a butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all the process. Matter of fact, to bring that analogy just a step further, is that what makes the butterfly strong enough to fly
mm-hmm.
is the battle to get out of the cocoon.
Yeah.
Because if you just open the cocoon for them, they die.
Mm-hmm.
They need that struggle.
They need to build their muscle.
They need to build their muscle and get stronger. So transformation is made complete by the struggle
mm-hmm.
to get out of the cocoon.
Yep. That's
so,
good.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So anything else to add about the message on Sunday?
I think the other one thing that I would just touch on was he talked about this idea of transformation in us and Jesus's transfiguration, and just how it's a similar word that's used, but how in that, you know, the disciples see Jesus in his full glory in that, but then, you know, as we're called to reflect Christ's glory, and what does that mean for us? And so, but it also just gives us that hope of things to come too. And so I think that's just a good reminder in all of that also. So yeah, it's good.
Yeah. There's an element of, you know, when people are on fire for the Lord, they kind of have a radiance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yep.
obviously not what it will be someday in the future. I mean,
right.
I obviously talk
yep.
about heaven
yep.
in a minute, but, obviously there'll be a radiation there, you know, a radiance there. That's
yep.
not a glorification,
mm-hmm.
but yet at the same time, there is something, there's some kind of a radiance of people that, you know, they just kind of experienced that freedom in the Lord.
Yep.
They've
pursuing him.
They're guilt free
yep.
and they're content and they have that peace and,
mm-hmm.
and, it's a beautiful thing. Now it doesn't necessarily stay there. Because you go through
right.
the seasons.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
But you can oftentimes look at somebody and just yep. say, oh, you're in a good spot with Jesus.
Yep. Or, oh, you're not.
Oh, what's wrong?
Can you know, a little quiet time
you got
with Jesus.
People walking up to you going, are you okay? Never experienced that. Never. So.
Oh. I'm just kidding.
That's funny.
Jen's not even looking at us.
So
like, I'm ignoring you all right now.
So we thought, so as we were discussing what we're going to kind of talk about in the second segment of this, we were talking about another bunny trail that God's taken me down.
Yes.
And it kind of stems from, you know, Colossians chapter 3, but so I had the opportunity, and you know, since I'm on a preaching break, I go and visit other churches.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm not here on a Sunday, I'm visiting somewhere else. And I went and visited a church in Pella on Sundays, not third. But I went and visited a church in Pella, and they're talking about heaven, which kind of brought me down this path. A little bit of it was conviction for me personally. So I went to Colossians 3, and you know, Colossians 3 says 1-4, it says, since you've been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, your real life is hidden with Christ in God, and when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you'll share in all his glory. Okay, so then it's like, all right. So we go back to, it says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. What's my ratio? And
go back, do that thought audit, right?
Do that thought audit.
What do I think about?
That's right. So, and maybe for everybody that's watching this podcast, here's the question. How much time have you spent thinking about things of heaven, and compare that to how much time you've thought about the things of the earth? And if you're like everybody else, maybe you're special and you're in a special season of life, of your walk with the Lord. But for most people, it's going to be yuck. Right. Especially over the last 2 years.
Right.
And so then I thought, well, you know, so we obviously Randy Alcorn writes like the preeminent theology book on heaven. And so I started looking for some Randy Alcorn discussions. And then we watched on staff. We talked about this. And how encouraging is it to talk about heaven?
Yeah. It is. It's very encouraging because you get to talk. I mean, it's the hope to come, you know? Yeah. And so you're thinking about all of those things that are to come, and that there's significance and there's purpose.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe that sounds weird, but I think I think apart from scripture, we make a lot of assumptions about what heaven will be like that we've just come up with.
We get them from Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Yes, the little angels with the little diapers and their little, right? Like we just come up with all of these things that just aren't real at all. And so as we dig into scripture and we, you know, the book Heaven that Randy Alcorn wrote and all of these things, that we just get this clearer picture of what heaven will be like. And I think that it's fun to think about. It's good to think about. And but I think too, you know, the other thing in the midst of all of that is that, you know, the things that we do on earth have eternal significance.
Oh, absolutely.
And so as we're thinking about the things of heaven and looking at what is that ratio, I think that part of that ratio too is, what eternal significance does this have? And so even in my daily walk and my daily stuff, right? Like, am I thinking about God in the midst of that? And am I putting God first in the midst of that? And am I pursuing him? Because those are the things that will last. And those are the things that will have eternal significance and kingdom purposes and will last forever.
Right.
Versus the things that I'm putting above God and the things that I'm just doing on my own or whatever of my own strength, they don't
last.
All. And so we pursue a lot of stuff that has no real eternal value.
No.
So,
yeah. No, and when you think about, so you kind of start with this premise that, you know, like the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, that we look at things like we're looking at a puzzling reflection in a mirror. Mm-hmm. So one of the things is you start to unpack this big idea of heaven. Mm-hmm. So heaven, according to Grudem's definition, is that place where God manifests his greatest presence.
Yes.
So right now that is a place that is kind of, that's going to move. Mm-hmm. So we have, for lack of a better word, an interim heaven.
Right.
Which if I died today, that's where I would go. That's where Jesus is. That's the vision that we see in the book of Revelation when John gets called up into heaven and he sees the throne room and, but that is not the eternal heaven.
Right.
Because scripture also tells us that heaven is on earth.
Right.
By the time God's finished doing what he's doing.
Jesus will come back. There'll be a judgment. New heavens, new earth. It's all renewed creation.
Right. Yeah. Everything is redeemed.
Yep.
Everything. Mm-hmm. And so as you kind of start to unpack this bigger idea of like eternal heaven, it starts with Earth and thinking about how everything is redeemed. So all of the result of the fall is gone. And so, you know, what does that mean exactly? Well, for starters, we weren't created to die. So it kind of begins with this idea that so the earth is going to be restored, everything evil removed, and then we're going to be on the earth with imperishable bodies.
Right.
That aren't prone to fatigue. They're not prone to, you know, if you can get, I'm not saying, so I got to be careful how I say this, because scripture describes that there's trees that we eat of that are like healing trees. Because one of the misperceptions is that, well, how could you feel in heaven if you have this imperishable body? Can you get can you get hurt in heaven?
Because you burn your hand on a fire.
Well,
or
it's
fall
like,
down
well, if you don't have
leg.
Any feeling, you know, if you have no sensitivity, how would, you know? So there has to be a sensitivity there, right? And so anyway, but this idea of being in a redeemed earth that is a billion times more beautiful and wonderful than it is now, and I have a I have the body that can fully enjoy it, full senses, you know, full capacity.
And he mentioned that you would use 100% of your brain capacity.
100% of your brain capacity, you know, nothing hindered by age. I'll give you a story. So, you know,
maybe Steve will run. Will you run in
Why would I need to?
Body?
I got all the time in the world to get somewhere.
I don't need to. I have like millions of years.
Nothing will be chasing me.
So clearly he will not.
I have a perfect body that is that is not needed. So let me get so here's my story. So, you know, I got a treadmill.
Yes.
And I've been working out on my treadmill. Well, for the first time in my entire life, I developed this thing called plantar fasciitis. I don't even know what that is. I got this soreness in my heel. Which is extremely annoying when you're on a treadmill.
Yeah. You have to walk on it.
So you know, I'm doing all this research and, you know, and kind of when you get into plantar fasciitis, you start getting into like a lot of like geriatric stuff.
Yep.
And I just like, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. So I'm, so we talk about pain and injury, right? So what I've discovered is that if I can get through like the first 10 minutes of excruciating pain, it loosens up.
Yes. Yep.
And then everything
gets better.
And then like for the next, so I spent an hour on the treadmill and then, so like for the next,
don't give up in the first 10 minutes.
Don't give up in the first 10 minutes.
Right.
But it also makes me think about heaven because I'm pretty sure plantar fasciitis
it's not gonna be
is
there.
An earthly thing.
Go eat from the healing tree. It's part of the brokenness.
Or there's a fruit that'll, you know, when you say, oh, I got plantar fat. Oh, there's a fruit for that.
That's right.
Here, eat this.
Yep.
But no, I'm, you know, as you think about it. So another thing, so Vicky and I were talking about this and if you're a person that says this, that's okay. All right. I'm not, but you know, kind of a common thing when you ask somebody, how are you doing? They'll say, well, I'm upright. I'm above ground.
Yep.
Which is better than the alternative.
Yep.
And it's like, is it?
Yeah.
Is it really?
When you learn about heaven, you're
when
like,
you learn about heaven, it only gets better from here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it only gets better from here. And we don't think about that as Christians.
Right.
And the reason why we don't think about it is we don't think about heaven enough.
Right.
When I die, I'm going to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a billion times better than here.
Yeah.
And
that's the one thing that actually, so you did a sermon series on heaven. What did we say? 2018? We looked it up yesterday. Did we say it was 13?
No, 2013.
13. Oh, sorry.
Which, by the way,
18 would not have
coming been. Soon 13, to a church near you will be, it's going to be after Lent, but we're going to revisit the heaven series.
Yeah, that'll
series.
Be great. That'll be great. But I know, we're excited. But that I was just going to say, though, when you did that sermon series, the one thing that just totally stuck with me was this idea that right now on earth, for non-believers, this is the closest that they'll ever get to heaven. But for believers, this is the furthest away that we'll ever be, you know,
right.
but just this idea that that's why it's so important to share our faith with people, because we want people to be invited, like we want people to be invited in and hear the good news, and, and we want this eternal hope for them. And so, but yeah, that's,
I mean, if you're watching this podcast, if you're a believer, it only gets better from here.
Right.
If you're a non-believer and you die in that state,
it gets worse.
This is as good as it gets.
Right. Yep.
And that's a paradoxical view. It's call it a dichotomy, whatever you want to call it. But just think about that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. For a lot of people, for most people, this is as good as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
Pandemics.
Yep.
Crime.
Mm-hmm.
Sickness, corrupt, disease. Corrupt politicians, corrupt leaders, sickness, death, all of these things. But because of Christ, it only gets better.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't think about that.
Right.
And it's no wonder as these redeemed people that we live very similar to everybody else. Because we just don't know what we've been given fully.
Right. Yeah. And this is the hope that we have to come, but it's also by thinking about those things and thinking about the truth of them that we're setting our minds on that. But that should change and motivate how we live now and build our faith, because we know that, you know, these are the things that are unshakable and these are the things that will last forever. So
if you're truly in a place where you have this full comprehension of heaven and what Christ did for you on the cross, you find yourself in a place where you can't lose.
Mm-hmm.
You can't lose.
Right.
No matter what life throws at you. So here's another analogy. I remember when we were in basic training. I've told this story before too when I was in heaven. I was in basic training and we were in trouble. And we
don't want to be in trouble in basic training.
No. And our company commander, they called it beating. We were receiving a beating, which what he did was basically as soon as we secured from breakfast, he had us doing PT all day.
Right.
All day.
Right.
And until people started, people were dropping. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't do this today, but this is back in the dark ages. And I remember there was this group of us. So people they wimped out and they dropped out.
Too hard.
And there was this group of us. And I remember there was this guy who was a Marine.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, so we had like 50 people in my company and there was like 12 of us left that hadn't gotten down. And I remember this Marine, because, you know, you start thinking, I'm going to quit, you know.
Yeah.
All this stuff. And then he said one thing I'll never forget. He says, the one thing they can't do is keep the clock from moving.
That's right.
Because we'll get through this.
Yep. It will end eventually.
Yeah. And then we all look at each other.
We don't know when.
We're not going down. We're not going. The other thing was, is all the people that went down, the company commanders made them stand off to the side, march in place, sucking their thumbs.
Yeah, I guarantee you were not
going to
do that.
I was not going to do that. And I'll never forget that, but there's that picture of no matter how bad life is in Christ, you're still moving towards a moment of paradise and completion.
Yep, which is where Paul says to live is Christ and to die is gain.
Absolutely.
So that whole
you can't lose
paradox.
You can't lose. You may suffer in life, but your every minute that goes by is a minute closer to being with Jesus.
Yep.
So, talk about joy and freedom.
Yeah, right.
And all those good things.
Yep.
So,
that's good.
Awesome.
That's good.
So, like
that
I said,
was part two.
Like I said, we got to get through. We're going to get through Lent. So kind of as we look at through things, we're going to revisit Peter.
Yes.
So 2 Peter
we're
gonna
go back to 2 Peter
is going to carry us through Lent, and Peter talks about heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be a little bit of a foretaste, and then we'll. Schedule things and we'll get to the Heaven series.
Heaven series. That'll be great. Yeah.
So it'll be exciting.
Looking forward to some things.
Right
to
about
come.
The time we get out of this, you know, we get fully into spring and we're feeling better about life in general. We'll talk about heaven.
We'll talk about heaven. Yep. It's good.
It's hard to talk about heaven in February in Iowa. Although some people might be, oh yes, please tell me. I need the uplifting.
Need some hope.
Visual.
That's right. So, it's good.
What do we got going on?
All right.
This week.
Well, we have all kinds of things this week. So actually, today is a big day. For me, I know. Actually, it's our youngest son's birthday. So happy birthday to Nick.
Happy birthday. He's
officially 13. We now only have teenagers in the house. So I feel, yes, they are all taller and bigger than me.
I know I've told this story. I know I've told this story before, but there's something connected with Nick. Because he was newly born.
Yes.
When you had Vicky and I over.
Yeah. Yep.
And we're like, well, when was he born? And you're like, you told us.
It was
last year? No,
it was like, yeah. So when the way started, my grandma had heard about it. My grandma lived in the manor in Pella. And she had heard about it, like that Third was going to be planting a church. So I called and then I got your and Vicky's number. And so I remember calling you and you know, I was like, oh yeah, we had Nathan. Nathan was, he was 2 at the time. Yes, he was already 2 at the time, I believe. I think he had just turned 2. And or maybe 3. He was 2 and he had just turned 3. And Nick was just born. And at the time I called you, I was like, he was 6 weeks old. Like I was home on maternity
leave. I know.
And I was like, do you guys want to come over to our house? We'll have supper and we just want to meet you and hear more about this. And you're like, so he's like 6 months old? And I was like, no, he's 6 weeks old.
It's pretty impressed that Marcy invited us over for dinner and made us dinner.
Vicky would love to come over and hold a baby.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's good. So
I've more or less literally, with the exception of the first 6 weeks, seen Nick grow up before my very eyes.
Yep. So
and he has grown.
13 today. He has grown. Yes.
He's a good sized lad. He's tall. He gets tall. And both your boys, it's like when I see him, I'm like, yeah.
If you see him around, wish him happy birthday. He's a teenager today. So yes. So tonight is youth group, middle school at 6 o'clock for a meal. 6:30 starts their night and high school eats at 6:30 and their night starts at 7. And so, spaghetti and chicken Alfredo. That sounds amazing. That'll be a great birthday supper for Nick. Yay.
Sounds really good.
I know.
Good.
I'm like, I don't know what we're doing. So good. Yeah,
I love chicken Alfredo, but I had some friends of mine that used to refer to Alfredo sauce as fat sauce. So to this day, I mean, I don't really care. It doesn't stop me from eating Alfredo.
Like I eat it anyway.
But I always think of guys calling, it's fat sauce.
Can combine them.
When you're in youth, it's pure energy. So
that's right. Yep. They're just like, we need more. So yes. So youth is tonight. Tomorrow night, Kingdom Builders is back at it at 6:30. They're going to be diving into the book of Genesis. So come on out and join them on Thursday nights. And then this week, Friday, we have our Winter Family Experience event. And so we're going to be meeting from 6 to 7:30-ish in the Discipleship Center. Alicia's got a great lesson planned and a little activity. And so we don't have a supper with it this time. So eat before you come, but we will have a little snack for families. And so it's going to be a fun night this Friday. And then Saturday from 3:30 to 4:30, the prayer team is meeting. So we'll have the worship center open with a time of prayer. And the prayer team is there. If you would like to come and receive prayer, you can come to that time and the prayer team would love to pray for you. Otherwise, if you'd like to come and join the prayer team and be praying with them, you are welcome to do that as well. So that's this Saturday at 3:30. And then we have lots of things coming up. So Women's Bible Study is coming up. And on Thursday, February 24, which is another big day, right? We talked about that last week.
Special day.
Yep. They are going to be starting their next Bible study. They're doing Better by Jen Wilkin. And I believe that's a study on Hebrews. Yes.
You know, you said I turn everything to a song.
You do.
You know what song Let's popped in my head? As soon as you, on the day when you were born, the angels got together and decided to create a dream come true.
I don't know that song. Do you know that song? No, Jen is saying no also.
Close to you.
You do know most of
that's
the
a Carpenter song. You've never heard that song?
No. Oh, there you went to orange.
Close to you.
Yeah.
Diddle-do. Diddle-do.
So anyway,
I go on.
There you go. So women's Bible studies.
This is how my brain works.
This is how his brain works. Oh, dear. Also, along the lines of women's ministry, is that we are going to be having the women's conference on April 30th. And so we are going to be live streaming the Lifeway Women's event. And you can go online. You can register on our website. Tickets are $20. If you would like to purchase a t-shirt, you can do that for an additional $10, which would make your total fee $30. I'm very good at math. But you don't have to purchase a t-shirt. So if you only want to spend the $20 for the registration fee, that's fine too. But it's going to be a great day. And we would love for you to join us April 30th so you can plan ahead, get your registration in, mark your calendar. Invite. Yes. Get your childcare lined up, all the things. So
make yeah, sure. This is, you know, this is the perfect opportunity. If you've been inviting somebody to church on Sunday and they've been saying no, maybe this is
maybe they'll come to
your
this.
Alternate that's offer right. to bring them to the conference.
Yep, that's right. Who doesn't want to come to a women's conference and just hang out? It's going to be great.
Well, I'm not really that concerned about
it. Okay, what woman doesn't want to come?
I feel like an interloper.
Steve's like,
Even though I'll be around, I'll be floating around.
Good.
I love to watch Vicky do now I know this is
Vicky does an amazing job.
Yeah,
she
you
has
know
a big and it's for women to know Jesus.
It's her passion you know, I mean she's beautiful all the time, but she is radiantly beautiful when she's in that place that Christ has called her to.
Yeah, she does a fantastic job.
Yeah.
So it's good.
Yeah.
It's good. So all kinds of things coming up for women's ministry between the Bible study and the women's conference. So all kinds of things to check out. And then also want to let people know that starting March 1st, which is a Tuesday, I believe, we are going to start Freedom Group. So our Freedom class is up and going again this spring. And
Freedom.
Yeah, see, he's got a song for everything.
Freedom.
This one has hand motions. Today's your day.
Freedom. Dun, 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 dun. Freedom.
So sign up. I don't know that Steve will be there to sing to you, but he'll sing to you now. So there you go. Freedom Groups coming up soon, starting
you know,
in
can
March.
You name that movie? Freedom.
No. Pitch Perfect.
No.
Nope. I'm not the movie
Blues neighbor. Brothers.
Oh, I never would have gotten that ever. So don't know that I've seen that.
And it was just like that. If you haven't seen the movie, now you don't need to see the movie.
Anyway, you might want to go see the movie.
You might not. It's been a while since I've seen it. I don't know.
No promises if it's appropriate, I guess.
I don't know if it's appropriate or not.
Potluck is coming up, too. Yes, I know. I'm going to keep going. March 19. I think that's a Saturday. Is that a Saturday? Yes, it is a Saturday. So we have a potluck community meal. So the idea for these also is invite somebody to come with you, but it's also an opportunity for our church family to get together and gather and share a meal and just have some good fellowship. So that is
even
on
though
Saturday,
we're even
March
though
19.
We're good providence of God theologians, we don't technically believe in luck. We'll still it's still the term that we embrace.
The potluck.
Potluck.
That's right. Would you like to call it a pot of providence?
A providence pot.
Anyway, that's right.
You were destined before the beginning of time to bring whatever dish you bring.
God knew what you would bring.
You know, it's interesting about potlucks is usually it balances out the right.
It really does.
The right of main entrees, sides, and desserts.
I've never been to a potluck that only had desserts.
I think that's providence.
Yeah, I think it is too. See, look how that works out.
Amazing.
And we attribute it to luck.
I don't think it's I don't think it's luck.
That's right. It's a pot of providence.
Sorry.
Right there. Saturday, March 19.
I
you
digress.
Don't want to miss it.
I digress.
Also coming up is a parenting class. So Bryce and Kathy Ingbers are going to be leading a parenting class. I'm super excited for this. I've actually viewed all of the videos that go along with it, and it is fantastic. So it's called The Art of Parenting, and it is going to be on Monday nights, I believe, starting March 21st. So you can sign up for that online, and I believe that there'll be like a book or a workbook that you need to get to go with that, and But yeah, I'm sure all that information will be online as well. So, and then Spring Fling. Spring Fling is coming up. So Spring Fling is our big fundraiser. This one doesn't have a song. Aloha is the
Aloha,
theme. See, I knew
there would
be something. Aloha, oi. Is this a real song or are you making this up? I think he's making this up.
I'm not making it up.
You're totally making it up. You're totally making this up.
C and H, pure cane sugar from Hawaii.
Is this an ad? I don't know
from
this.
The 80s.
You know this?
Well, probably maybe she's from the 70s. You don't remember? See, you're too young to remember the C and H.
I don't know the 70s. I was not alive in the 70s.
From Hawaii. growing
so
in the sun.
Spring Fling, aloha. Fundraiser for the youth. We have more youth going on the mission trip this year. And so that means we also need to raise more money. But we're very excited that we have a lot of youth who want to go. And so we have $11,000 that they're looking to raise. There's 96 seats for the Spring Fling. And
I'm guessing there's not 96 left.
There's probably not 96 left. I think we've had quite a few
people have started signing up. So if you're kind of on the fence,
sign up now.
Wait at your own.
That's right.
Own risk.
So you can give a donation just for the evening. We also are going to be auctioning off pies. I've heard there's a pretty good coconut cream pie that somebody might want to purchase. So nothing.
I might be a little.
I'm like all the singing and then nothing.
I might be
for
a tad bit vulnerable to the temptation of a coconut cream pie.
Yep.
Do not lock me
coconut
alone in a room with a coconut cream pie.
Yeah, nope. I'd be perfectly fine with one.
Because that coconut cream pie does not stand a chance.
Nope.
Just it's done.
Yeah.
It's over for
that's
that
how I would be with French silk, but definitely not coconut cream.
French silk.
Coconut is just
French
like,
silk is all right, but it's too much. It's just, for me. You know, it's just the coconut cream. I could eat a whole pie.
This is why we have all kinds of different flavors of pie for the auction.
Like triple berry and
so that, and they're homemade. They're delicious.
We've had cheesecakes.
We have had
Cheesecake Factory cheesecakes.
Yep. And so there's a little something for everybody. So if coconut cream pie is not your thing, there will be something.
What's your favorite dessert?
Oh. If Aaron were here,
your favorite
he would
dessert.
Make the comment that it's the strawberry pretzel dessert, but I would call it a salad. However, that's not my favorite. I would say it just kind of depends. I really like too many, but I really do like French silk pie. That might be my favorite. If you do something special, a French silk pie is usually.
So I love coconut cream pie, but the one thing that I probably would like more than coconut cream pie is tiramisu.
Yeah. I don't know that I would.
Tiramisu.
You do like that.
If it's done properly.
Right.
Is heavenly.
It has to be done right.
It's a little taste of heaven. It's probably what manna tastes like from heaven is tiramisu.
Manna from heaven, tiramisu. There you go.
Yeah.
Yep. Food from heaven.
At least that's my
story.
That's
what we'll be having at
Spring Fling. I'm sticking to it.
Food from heaven. The other thing, last thing that I want to talk about, and we kind of talked about this earlier, but Alexis is going to be leading mom's group. I haven't actually talked to you about this. Did you know about this?
Oh, I assumed she was.
Yeah, she said she had talked to you, and then you sent her my way. So First Mondays with Mamas is what it's called. And so looking for moms with little ones, toddlers, infants, and they're just going to come into the nursery the first Monday of every month and come hang out and have a fellowship time and maybe a little Bible study or something. And so it'll be great. So, and she is actually going to start that in March. So the first Monday of March. So that's why I want to put that on your radar and let all those mamas out there know about it.
And of course, you know, I'm biased.
I think it's 9:30 start time. Yeah. So
I am a little biased. I'll admit that up front. However, if I do believe that she is one of the neatest young women that I know. And I think that you'd be blessed if you.
Oh, you will definitely be
come
blessed
and
if you
come. Hang out.
Yes, for and, sure. Yes, you know, definitely.
It's a good thing. And she, you know, she's been blessed by that. So she takes the girls to, I mean, they have mom groups. And so she, she's always looking for one more opportunity.
Yeah. No, I'm excited about it. She reached out to me and I was like, yes, let's do this. Yeah. I'm so excited. So I think that's going to be a great opportunity and I'm excited for that to start. So very good. That's all I have.
All right. Well, good. Well, that concludes episode 115.
It does.
So that means, and you ready for this? Next week, it'll be episode 116.
Good job adding one.
Which, if we go 100 episodes back, that would take us to episode
16. Yes. I'm very good at math.
So we'll see how that all shakes out. But we appreciate you tuning in. And as always, if there's anything the church can be doing for you, whether it's prayer, we'd love to be praying for you. If there's anything, conversations or anything you need, now is the time to just be connected and be in fellowship and loving on each other as the people of God. And so we hope to see you maybe on Sunday. And so we'll just kind of sign off and say goodbye. God bless you.
Have a great week.
Bye.